Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
So many different ways you can do research. So there is the usability testing that we just talked about. There is concept testing and product testing where you're testing a physical item. Or in the case of creative, putting something in front of them and seeing how it's resonating. Then there are some broader research like market research. So you can look at competitive analysis, some broader category level research. So if you, for example, designed household goods, what are other household good companies looking at? In the case of me as a custom stationer, what are other stationers and wedding professionals doing in the market space, and what kind of products do they have out there, and what do their consumers look for, and how are they being engaged in their audiences?
Hi, this is Henneka. I'm so glad you took the time to stop by today. In Jamaican parlance, Wagwan. I'm glad to say a dial. This episode is sponsored by HennekaWatkusPorter.com as well as the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Now on HennekaWatkusPorter.com, you can visit us for blogs, resources, books, online podcast courses, podcasts, and more. If you are new to the Entrepreneurial You podcast, be sure to check out past episodes with guests such as John Lee Dumas, Patrice Washington, Seth Godin, Richard Branson, Amy Porterfield, and a host of other game changers.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors, and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
And now, here's today's episode. Research is formalized curiosity. It is poking and prying with a purpose. Zora Neale Hurston. Hey, my community members, you have been with me over the time since I've begun, and some of you have just started. I want to welcome you to episode 177 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today's episode is with Jordan Kentris. Jordan is the founder and creative director of A Good Day, a bespoke experience studio specializing in custom stationery, events, branding, and user experience. Getting his start in advertising, he spent the last 13 years building a foundation in digital and consumer strategy with a focus on enhancing user experience across the digital and physical worlds. He launched A Good Day in 2014 to marry his passions for paper and user experience, working on a wide range of products from small business branding and custom wedding invitations to website designs and digital transformations for large multinational brands. So I know that we're going to have a grand time talking about the value of user testing and consumer research to improve products and website conversion. Welcome, Jordan. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Henneka.
Absolutely. Have you ever been to Jamaica?
No, I have not.
Okay. I hope it's on your bucket list after this pandemic is over, right?
It definitely is.
Awesome sauce. All right. So let's dive a little into your business. You know, what led you to go into this type of business?
I mean, I started out actually building websites for the game The Sims when I was a child. And I learned a lot about websites through that and building a foundation in development and design over the years. And then I kind of stumbled into advertising through happy accident and the pushing of my parents. but learn about this thing called information architecture and user experience. And from there, it really just kind of jived, because it allowed me to take a design side of my brain and marry it with something that was very strategic and structured, like user experience. So how do we champion the voice of the consumer through the design process?
Interesting. You talk about starting when you was a child. How early was that? How young was that? And what you think kind of inspired that? Was it your parents? What impact anybody had on you where that is concerned?
I was probably about 12 when I started working on websites. And my dad was always very technical. He used to own an electronics company. So I was always exposed to, at the time, like some really cool like radio electronics and circuit boards and computer building and things like that. So that to me was a hobby and an interest growing up. So I wanted to find ways of exploring that through what could be a career.
Did you have friends doing the same thing like you were doing, or, you know, you were influencing your friends as well so that they would start? Or what was that like?
I was
your
influencing
childhood?
My friends. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple teachers in high school who really kind of pushed me on the creative technology side to really grow. And then I always had an art background. So marrying those two worlds has always been a really fun way. Mm-hmm. But both my parents are very artistic and like challenges. And we always did puzzles. So I always find ways of incorporating those things through everything I do.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm picking up from that, you know, it's very interesting that you had people supporting you from very early on in the game. And so, it allows you now to have this wealth of experience and to be doing something that you actually love to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about user testing. When you talk about user testing, what are we really talking about?
So there's a few different streams, but when it comes to user testing, there's something called usability testing. And so that's usually showing someone a task-based scenario, especially when it comes to a website. So how would you buy this X? And then we take them through that scenario and see how they would accomplish that. And then we repeat that test over and over again with a bunch of different consumers to then gain insights from those things. So you can start to see things like usability problems. So are there issues with text labels or buttons, or are colors confusing? Is the copy on the page meeting its needs? And then you can kind of take that up a level and start looking at product and services. So you can actually do product and service level testing with your audiences. So testing a prototype and seeing what they're resonating with, if your product is meeting their needs, and then taking those things and enhancing those products.
I know a lot of creatives, they're so attached to their product and whatever it is that they're doing that they will reject any form of criticism. But you're actually saying that this is important. What are some of the things that you normally miss? Like, you know, when you're doing the website, you would miss it. And then through customer testing, user testing, you would have pick up on. What are some of those general things that you tend to miss?
Definitely. So a lot of, as a creator myself, you get very biased. And as you mentioned, you kind of are very proud of the thing that you're creating, and you don't really see some of the blind spots. So testing can really expose where you may think that you're selling your product in a really clear way. Testing can help you see that maybe your language isn't the most clear, or the next step that you're asking the consumer to take in your funnel, it may not be the most concise and clear for them to see what that is. Because sometimes we like to be like, hey, you know, buy now. But a lot of people might be like, what am I buying now? Like, what are my next steps? What information do you need from me? So helping them and holding their hand can sometimes be exposed during that testing process to realize that, hey, I wasn't that clear in the description of the product. Or once they went to go purchase it, I wasn't really clear on what their next steps are. So are they going to hear from me? Do they get it immediately? Does it come in the mail? When does it come in the mail? Like, those kind of questions are things that consumers ask themselves, but we don't necessarily ask ourselves as creators.
All right. So what about consumer research?
So many different ways you can do research. So there is the usability testing that we just talked about. There is concept testing and product testing, where you're testing a physical item. Or in the case of creative, putting something in front of them and seeing how it's resonating. Then there are some broader research, like market research. So you can look at competitive analysis, some broader category level research. So if you, for example, designed household goods, what are other household good companies looking at? in the case of me as a custom stationer, what are other stationers and wedding professionals doing in the market space, and what kind of products do they have out there, and what do their consumers look for, and how are they being engaged in their audiences?
And I want to go into, you know, improving products and website conversion. So we're talking about two different things, the product itself and the website conversion. So in addition to the user testing and consumer research that we talked about, mm-hmm. how can we improve A, the product, and B, that website conversion?
Definitely. When it comes to optimizing conversion, there are a few different metrics you really want to look at. So through the testing, that can help you do some broader level conversion increases. So things like the button label. So more information isn't always a clear label. You really want to be clear as to what we're trying to get the consumer to do through the next action. So if it's learn more about stationery or learn more about the podcast, so we want to be really clear as to what we want them to do next. That can help increase conversion because it helps set the bar. But then you can look at things like analytics and any metrics that you can garner. So where are consumers coming in? You can take a look at things like bounce rate, which is how often a consumer stays on the page. So if there is a higher bounce rate on the page that they're on, that may mean that they didn't find what they were looking for and have left your site without doing a conversion. So that's an area you can look at and how to improve. Mm-hmm. Then there are tools like heat mappers, which you can put on a website to see as a user scrolls down a website, see where they're interacting at, where their mouse is hovering. And that can really expose to you where you are maybe not saying enough early on in a page, because a lot of consumers, you generally have between 3 and 5 seconds when a consumer lands on a page to grab their attention and want them to kind of dive into more. And so that can really indicate to you through a heat map where they're dropping off. So if they're dropping off within the top quarter of the page, that could be a real indication that you're not speaking enough to what they're looking for, or your product may not be the right thing for them.
As we talk about analytics, I know there's Google Analytics. Talk to us in relation to website conversion and how we can, you know, manipulate or look at that data to guide what we do next.
When it comes to analytics, you really want to look at things like bounce rate, things like time on site can be a really good indication, especially in products that require a bit more research. So time on site is how long a consumer is on the website overall. Then there's also metrics like time on page. So if they're on a product page and they're only on it for a couple of seconds, something on that page wasn't resonating with them. May it be the product, the content, the copy, they wasn't really clear what the next action is. So you can kind of start to see where some of those elements are. But then you can also look at where does that traffic come from? So if that traffic comes in from referrals, that would mean that it's coming in from an outside source. So another website that is linking to you. It can come in through search. So that's typically them, you know, Googling something and then coming in through that range. Direct traffic is someone's clicked on a link somewhere, be it they've typed it in the browser and come in through that. They've come in through an email. And then there's social, which can be an indication of it's coming in through your social or social through Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, for example, can come in through that element as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's paid. So that is where you're doing PPC and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then you talk about PPC for those who don't know.
So it's paid advertising.
Pay-per-click
advertising.
Right.
Google does it. There's text ads, display ads. There's many different ways that you can kind of slice and dice PPC.
Mm-hmm. And as you talk about, paid clicks and stuff, paid per clips, which platform you think that we should be paying more attention to? Which one, you know, garners more interest from persons who are searching for a particular product or service?
I find that Google is the king in that sense, just because of the amount of traffic that comes through it. But it also depends on the niche. Whereas something from a very photography-based business where photos mean a lot, Instagram and Pinterest do incredibly well in driving in some of those clicks because it's a very visual medium. Facebook is really great for broader kind of community-based conversations, and you can get exposure to a bunch of different audiences. So it really does depend on the business. But if you were to focus on one, I would definitely say Google is a great place to start because search traffic is so broad and vast. and you can capture such a large audience through that, that it is a good place to start.
I know you talked about some of the metrics that we're looking at when we're talking about Google Analytics, but is there any, you know, the ones that perhaps we don't necessarily pay attention to, but it, we may be able to glean some information from that?
For me, actually, the referral traffic, so where is that traffic coming from and what keywords they're coming in on, to me is a huge indicator. So sometimes we really focus on broader things like bounce rate because that is a pretty easy metric to see. But once you start going down into what keywords consumers were coming in through and finding you on, that could be a real indication of, is your product meeting those needs? So if they happen to be typing something in and they're coming in on a search term that you aren't targeting, that may be an area that you want to be either creating blog or written content on your page or creating a product that meets those needs because your audience is looking for that. So that can really help hone messaging down, as well as targeting when it comes to if you do decide to do paid search down the road to see what those audiences are doing.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the do's and don'ts as we're thinking about improving our products so that, of course, ultimately we can have better conversion, website conversion. What are some of the do's and don'ts that you can share?
Yeah. So when it comes to do's, really clear, concise messaging is super important. Clear action for the consumer. What do we want them to do next? How do we want them to do it? And what can they expect after they do that? Being really transparent and kind of showing a bit of personality, I always find is really great on a business end. It makes the consumer feel like they're interacting with a business. They understand what they're getting out of it. Some don'ts. I would really watch out in building what I would call like traps. So I'm using some air quotes here. And that's where you're kind of forcing the consumer into a behavior that you want, but the consumer may not want. So forcing an opt-in into a mailing list isn't the best consumer behavior. It's good on our end, but allowing them to opt into those things and giving them choice is a really good way of building that foundation, but also feeling like the consumer isn't trapped in that next step. So be really cautious of giving them options, but not forcing them.
Absolutely. So, you know, you talk about those options. So what kind of a alternative would you suggest to that as opposed to just allowing, you know, almost by default to be opting into something where that they really don't want to? What kind of an alternative would you suggest for that?
So it's really about building that relationship with them. So giving them the option and explaining to them why what the value is behind it. So in the case of a mailing list, a lot of people are just like, please sign up for my mailing list. But as a consumer, I don't really understand what the value of that is. I want to understand what am I subscribing to? What kind of insights am I going to gain from here? So if it's, am I going to gain insights? Am I going to gain promotional sale deal discounts? Am I going to gain exclusive behind the scenes access to me as a creator? So if you can kind of give a nod to what those things are, there's going to be a lot more value for the consumer to kind of opt into those things.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So Jordan, in light of the pandemic, how important would you say what you do on the digital front? How important is it right now? How are you finding the experience during this particular time?
To me, it's a great time to actually sit down and think about things in your business because you do have a little bit more time, I'm finding, in the sense that I'm actually able to kind of process and think through scenarios. So right now is a really good time to be looking holistically at your website and digital experience for your consumer end to end. Find out where they're starting, how they're finding out about you. If it's referrals from other people, what are they talking about and why are they referring you? So that you can kind of build that messaging into your website, because that's going to be the thing that as people are starting to, as business is picking up again, and people are looking for things, they're really going to be finding out more about you and want to build trust with you as a business.
In a sense, take the time now to kind of spring clean, as it were, right?
Yes, definitely. And because a lot of people are home, a lot more digital behavior and purchases are currently happening. So the more you can optimize your site to meet those things, the better, because you're not missing out on potential sales and leads.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. As we are about to come to the end, Jordan Kentris, my peak performer I've been speaking with, before we wrap up, your final thoughts as it relates to the conversation we've been having
there are so many opportunities with consumer research and user testing that I don't think a lot of people realize. And talking to your consumers throughout the buying process and after the buying process can yield such rewarding results that I've had such great success with it. And then the businesses I've worked with have had such great success that I'm a big champion of it. And I think it's incredibly valuable. Even if you talk to a couple people, don't be afraid to ask for their opinions. But also realize that you can take some of those things with a grain of salt. They are just opinions, and you can kind of see what works within your business and your workflow and enhance things that way.
Absolutely. You have been giving us such wealth of information, Jordan. I know that you have a giveaway for our community, and I'm going to ask you to share that as well as share how they may be in touch with you if they want to reach out to you.
Perfect. Yeah. So you can check us out on our website at agooddayinc.com. As well as on Instagram and Facebook at A Good Day Inc. But our giveaway is actually a free homepage audit. So I'm offering an audit out to the audience for me to review their homepage from a usability and accessibility accessibility perspective. And you can access that through agooddayinc.com/audit. And in there, there's a little mini form that you can kind of fill out to give me a little bit of information. And then I'll do a high level pass at your website to just see if there's any kind of pointers I can see from a copy, a content, and a structure perspective.
Whoa, that is absolutely valuable. I'm sure my community members will find that really, really valuable. Thank you, Jordan Kentris. Thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure having this conversation with you.
Thank you so much, Hanneke.
And thank you, my people, for tuning in to this episode with Jordan Kentris. I truly, truly look forward to connecting with you next week. In the meantime, you can connect with me for all things podcasting, books, coaching, online course, etc. by visiting hennikewatkisporter.com and send me a WhatsApp message from my homepage. And my point of hope for this week is the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Zephaniah 3:17. Walk good.